Serotalk podcasts are like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
Welcome to the Serotalk podcast.
Serotalk podcast.
Welcome to the Serotalk podcast, your portal to the accessible digital lifestyle.
www.serotalk.com.
A production of Serotech Corporation, creators of System Access, the System Access Mobile Network, and SA2Go. Learn about new technology, cool software, useful websites, education, information, entertainment, user comments, and much more. And now, here's your host, Michael Loff.
Welcome to Serotalk Podcast 24. This is Michael Loff.
And I'm Ricky Inger.
We have an exciting podcast coming up for you today. We're going to review a new Bluetooth headset with voice commands and really good sound quality called the Blue Ant V1.
Nice.
Buddy Brandon's going to join us later. He acquired one of these Pen Friends. Are you familiar with that, Ricky?
I've heard great things about it, but I'm looking forward to actually listening to the demo.
Yeah, really cool device. I think I want one. Also coming up, we're going to interview Samnet members Brent and Krista Buswell. They're going to talk about their life as professional musicians and traveling and touring and even taking their small child with them on some of their concerts. And then we're going to end up the show. Scott Rakowski is going to do a demo of the Roberts Eco Logic 4. It is a new HD radio. They just launched HD radio in Australia and actually sounds much better than it does in the U.S., actually, they have different frequencies. And what is also interesting is the radio stations are actually alphabetized.
Really? According to what? According to genre or just...
To their call letter. It scans, sees what stations you can pick up, and then alphabetizes them. So instead of them being available by frequency. So very interesting concept there. But we have some exciting news of our own.
Yes, we do. And a lot of you will already know about this. As of Friday, we released a 30-day trial of Eloquence, and lots of people were very happy to see this, and everyone was downloading furiously and making sure that their System Access or Samnet was up to date so that they could have that 30-day trial of Eloquence with System Access. Now, this is not Sappy 5 Eloquence.
This is the real ETI Eloquence. Yeah.
That's exactly right. We've had some very good feedback so far. A lot of people are extremely excited about that, and of course, the question on everyone's mind is, how much is it and when do we get it for real? So we figured we'd answer that in today's podcast. At the end of this 30-day trial of Eloquence, it is going to be available for purchase for $25. For those of you who are on the $39.95 plan, it's going to be included automatically for as long as you are paying that $39.95. And for everybody else, $25 gets you ETI Eloquence.
Worth every cent. It's my favorite engine. Some say it's computerized speech, but I've listened to it for so long, Ricky. I mean, it sounds human to me. I know it's not, but it's because of the accuracy of the pronunciation, and I've just used it for so long, at least 10 years.
I agree. Yeah. It's one of those things where the concatenate Paul and Kate with Eloquence and the Real Speak voices and various other synths, they're meant to sound natural, but they sound a little odd to me. I guess I prefer the robotic synth, and it automatically translates itself into human speech in my head. So it works out nicely.
Well, and also for us speed readers.
Exactly.
Kate and Paul sound great if you're willing to listen to it at just slightly slower speed. But if you're a speed reader, crank it up with that Eloquence. $25, folks. You're not going to beat the price. Go check it out, run the 30-day demo, and see what it's all about.
That's right. And if you have not yet installed Eloquence with the 30-day demo, you can do that by visiting the My Account section in your Samnet or System Access menu, and you'll see a link to begin that trial, and you'll have it for 30 days.
One more cool thing is those who have paid for it will be able to get Eloquence through their SA2Go. So if you really don't like Deck Talk, you're going to have Eloquence as an option. But only for those paying, not for the freebie folks out there.
So wherever you're logging on from, you'll have access to Eloquence.
All right, well, let's get into the podcast. Thanks for sharing that exciting news with us.
All right, let's get into it. I'm looking forward to hearing all these great new reviews and conversations.
As we like to do at Serotalk, we like to let you know of the latest cool technologies out there. And I have with me Scott Rakowski, who's going to talk about a new device he's found, which is an awesome match for the iPhone, but works with other cell phones as well. It's the Blue Ant V1.
Yeah, I'm very happy with my Blue Ant V for Victor 1. It's a very cool headset. It's very, very tiny. It cost me $89 Australian. I don't know what that is in US dollars, but I'm sure you guys could go to Newegg, any of those places, and have a look. The headset, it runs on a polymer battery. You get 5 hours talk time, and I think it was 250 hours standby or something of that nature. And it comes in two little cylinders. So the first cylinder has like a little tag on the top. It's glued down. So you just take that metal piece off. The whole end comes off. And then you've got like a stand. And the earphone is actually on the stand, sort of in like elastic bands or something. You just take that out of there. And then you've got another cylinder that contains all the accessories like the ear hooks, little foam tips, the gel tips, the car cigarette charger, and a power brick, which you plug the supplied USB cable into if you want to charge the headset. I'm using the plastic ear hook and the gel tip.
And now the big thing with this thing, V is in voice because it does voice commands. Get a call, either say the word answer, or if you hear the number and don't really want to talk to that person, you can say the word ignore, and they just go right to voicemail. Show us the list of voice commands.
Say a command.
What can I say?
You can say, pair me, teach me. What can I say? Am I connected? Check battery. Settings menu. Phone commands. Redial. Call back. Call voicemail. Call home. Call office. Call favorite. Call Goog 411. Call speed dial 6. Call speed dial 7. Call speed dial 8. Call speed dial 9. Switch headset off. Or cancel. Say a command.
Check battery.
Battery high. Say a command.
Am I connected?
Your phone is connected.
The other thing I like is when you move the volume up and down, it actually says volume down or volume up. You don't have to train it with your voice or anything. Just don't speak too quickly. Speak slow and make sure you say your words clearly. Otherwise, the headset will not hear what you say.
Okay, cool. Now to show one of the biggest weaknesses of some Bluetooth headsets is when you're walking around, it makes a lot of noise. So what we're going to do now is we're going to switch from Skype to our Serotech line, and Scott's going to do a 2-minute demo to show you how it sounds, including the noise reduction that almost eliminates the radio, which is actually blaring in the background so that you can hear him talk. So great for those situations when you're in a crowd of people or on a noisy street so that you can still be heard. So let's show that here real quick.
You can hear the radio, and I'm still talking, so you can hear me talking, or...
Yes.
Now, what I'll do is I'll switch to maximum, and we'll see if that makes any difference by pressing the blue and button. Voice isolation max. So I'm going to walk near the radio again and see if there's any difference. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
It has reduced the radio
and
eliminated some noise as well. I like that max feature.
So now we just switch it. I'll put it back. Voice isolation standard. I'll just turn the radio off. So I'm just walking around. I'm going to walk out into the hallway, keeping in mind I'm holding the iPhone still. So I'm just going to walk down the hallway here.
Okay, but now we need to try leaving the iPhone somewhere and testing the distance. So with the iPhone in one room and you going into another.
Yeah, well, I know it's 30 feet. I'll put it on the bench top here. Okay, so the iPhone is on the bench top in the kitchen. I'm going to walk back into the same room, and you let me know what happens when I walk away from it, sir. Now, I'm starting to be crackling in the headset now.
We're not hearing it yet.
I can only go as far as the living room door.
How far? Do you think that was 30 feet or 10 meters?
It's hard to say because it was going through walls. Let me walk to the office door, which is just near where I left the iPhone. So I'm back in the office where I was before. I'd say about 7-8 meters away.
Okay, well, it's working good there.
And there's a little bit of crackling when I'm walking around. I'm just going back to the iPhone now.
But we don't hear that annoying static that we hear on many of the phones, one of the Plantronics that I bought.
The other thing I like is you can, when you're not on a call, when you press the volume button, it actually says volume up or volume down, so you know what's happening. Yeah, I'm very happy. And what I'm going to do in a minute, when I've finished here, I'm going to tap the blue ant button twice, and you won't hear it, that the headset will actually say call terminated.
Well, Scott, that sounds pretty good, man. You sold me. What is the website where people can go learn more about the Blue Ant V1?
www.blueant.com.
Caught up here with Buddy Brandon, and he's going to talk about this cool device that has kind of taken the world by storm in the last 2 weeks, the Pen Friend.
And it really has. I've seen it all over the web. All kinds of people are picking it up and selling it. And there's a lot of buzz about this thing, and for good reason. It's the most inexpensive thing I've seen like it. I don't know if these labels that it uses are RFID tags or what they are. But
that's my understanding, is that's what they are.
It uses these little itty-bitty little round labels that are
like little dots.
Maybe about as big as your fingertip. You record your label into this device. It's got a little bit of flash memory, and I guess it indexes it with the recording inside of the device, and then it plays back your label, which means you can make your label as long as you want. I think they specify up to like 70 hours of voice recording. So you can make a lot of labels that are very long. This thing comes with a sheet of about, I think it said 127 labels, and they're re-recordable, reusable. They're adhesive, so if you want to reuse them, you'd probably want to put them on something like an index card, for example, and move the index card around between different things. You might, for instance, rubber band the index card to the side of your can of green beans so that you can reuse the card when you get a new can of green beans instead of throwing away a perfectly good label.
I thought about transformers. We get all these different devices that have the little transformers that we have to plug in the wall, and if you get them confused, you could destroy your device. So putting a label on each one to say, this one's for my modem, this one's for my router.
And I hadn't thought of that. I thought that was a great idea. Melanie uses it to label her prescriptions, since we don't have script talk here yet. And the nice thing is she can put dosage and the prescription number and all that sort of thing on it. On the demos and stuff, they've talked about people labeling their CD collections with these things.
Use a barcode reader, so it could use that to tell you what the device is. Go to something like bcscan.com or get the little app called Barf, and it tells you what the product is. And then you just slap a label on it, so that in the future when you come back and want to use it, like you said, if it's a CD or a food item, that you can quickly know what it is and not have to keep using that labeler every time.
I ordered mine direct from the RNIB, and including shipping and the international phone call and everything. It was about $100.
That's the best price we've found so far. Now, you can get it in the States. I think I saw $115, maybe $129, but I think you said right at $99, which was 54 pounds in the UK, but you have to telephone them.
And yeah, so you have to keep that in mind, and there is a special phone number that you have to hunt down. It's on their website. It says International Orders Caller Export Department on this phone number. And
we will provide a link to that page on theserotalk.com so folks can check that out.
Yeah,
calling it a pin might be a little misleading, because it's a pretty fat pin.
Well, it's fat enough that my daughter thinks it looks like a toy microphone. It is probably as big around as two magic markers. I mean, like, you couldn't really write with this thing. It's fairly big around, and it would definitely be a little bulky inside your pocket. It is more or less pen-shaped. The bottom end of it that you put on the labels to read them or to get ready to record them vaguely looks like a fat ballpoint pen, and then the other end is even thicker. It's kind of flat on the front and back side, and on the front side, it's got four buttons, an up and down rocker button for the volume. Of course, no display, and then under like a rubber guard, there's a headphone jack and a USB jack. It comes with 127 of these little labels. It comes with a USB connector, so you can put MP3s on it if you like.
1 gig of storage. And what are the three buttons other than the rocker switch?
Top one is the on and off button, and you hold it down until it beeps to turn it on or off. The next button down is the mode, RNIB message, audible message mode or something that I expect no one will ever use. MP3 player mode, you can transfer your music onto it. And then the bottom button is the record button. It gives you a sort of user's manual and demonstration all in one. It comes in this plastic box, and inside the box underneath, you know, when you open the lid, there's a piece of cardboard, and it has the pen in it, and underneath that it's got all the other accessories. But on the piece of cardboard, you'll notice there are five little circles about the size of your fingertip. One is all by itself, and it's a label that you can do test recordings on, and we'll show you that in a second. Then the other four basically tell you how to use the Pen Friend. So I'll show you. We'll just turn this on by holding down this top button here, and it'll beep. All you do is put the point of the pen on one of these little circles, and it'll...
There are four buttons. Starting from the top, the thickest end of the pen, is the power on-off button. Below that is the volume switch. Press upwards for volume up, and downwards to decrease the volume. The next button down is the mode button. And the last one, closest to the nib of the pen, is the record button. With the buttons facing you, there is a rubberized flap to the left. Under this are three sockets. From the top downwards, they are microphone, USB, and headphone sockets. The power button is the button closest to the top of the pen. To start, press this button for 2 to 3 seconds. You will hear an audio ringtone. To switch off, press the same button until you hear this ringtone.
Why is that annoying?
If you do not use the pen for more than 3 minutes, it will automatically switch off to save the life of the battery. This is also indicated by a ringtone.
The other labels read just like that, and they'll tell you about the other buttons, the volume and the mode button, and the process for recording, give you the audible cues that you'll get and all that sort of thing. It's pretty clever. Batteries are just regular AAA batteries. Takes two of them, and it comes with them.
How long do those last? Do we know?
Well, we haven't run them down yet, so I don't know.
They should last quite a while. So let's demo the bad boy. Let's make a recording.
All right, so let's make a label. So we'll let her tell you all about how to do that.
Record button. The fourth button, which is the nearest to the nib of your pen print, allows you to make your own recordings. Please listen to the whole of this message before continuing. Press and hold down the record button and touch any recordable label. You will hear a beep like this. Now you can start recording your voice. Remember to keep holding the record button down while you speak. When you have finished, release the record button, and your recording is automatically saved. To play back at any time, just touch the label with the pen print nib. Remember the sequence. Press, hold, touch, beep, speak, release. Let's make a recording now. First of all, find the round sticky label stuck to this packaging. Remember, press the record button and keep holding it down. Touch the label, speak, and then release the button. Once you hear the beep, you no longer have to touch the label. Bring the pen about 30 centimeters or a foot from your mouth and speak. You will need to experiment to find the right distance. Remember the sequence. Press, hold, touch, beep, speak, release. Now stop, press the record button, and try for yourself.
And this is a test label, which we are making with the pen friend. And then if I touch the label...
And this is a test label, which we are making with the pen friend.
And you can label anything you like that way.
I didn't like that recording. You would just repeat the process on that label and change
it to
something
new. Yeah, if you didn't like that, you could just do it again and say, green beans. And then if you found it again, found the label.
Green beans.
So with 70 hours, and since most things are maybe 3 seconds, you could conceivably, I'm trying to do some quick math, you could have thousands.
They have like a couple of series of labels that you can only have one A series and one B series or something like that. And I'm not sure how many labels come in a series. So that would be something that might be good to ask somebody at the RNIB.
I just thought of this. You could label important documents with it. You could stick that little dot on an important piece of paper.
Oh, sure you could. Yeah, and you know, they had a guy when he was demoing it, he would put a little label on his day planner and record August 13th, doctor's appointment at 2 p.m. This is actually really very inexpensive for what it is, and it looks like it's going to be dead useful.
Put any music on it yet? Someone played it the other night in the chat room, and I was pretty impressed with the quality of music coming out of a little speaker on a pen-shaped device.
I actually haven't put any music on it, but considering the size of it, the speaker is very loud. I mean, speaking of the speaker, when you turn it back on, it resets itself to its default volume, which is quite loud. That is one thing that I wish they hadn't done. I wish they'd made it save the volume settings so that when you turn it back on, it, you know, if you liked it at a lower volume, it would save that.
Folks, I would encourage checking this out if you see the need for it. I certainly do. I can justify $100 to label all my belongings, and I think there's a lot of potential uses for this that we haven't even come up with yet. So check it out at rnib.org.uk. It's called the Pen Friend. It's one word, right? Capital P-E-N, capital F-R-I-E-N-D. Right. Check it out, folks. Thanks, buddy, for sharing that technology with us.
You betcha.
Following up on our series of folks who are out there waking for a living, we have Brent and Krista Buswell, the Buswells, BrentBuswell.com, doing the music thing, traveling, playing gigs for money. How cool is that? Hey, thanks for joining me today.
No problem. Thanks for having us.
I know one of the things I'm fascinated with, and I'm sure our listeners will be as well, is how the two of you came together. Where did it all begin?
We actually got introduced to each other back about, gosh, it was about 12 years ago, back in 1997. They were having a music institute for blind students at the University of Bridgeport in Bridgeport, Connecticut. And I had been there one time the year before that, in 96. That was their first time they did it. And Krista was there in 97 for their second program that they had. And that was where we met up. And one of the things that we had in common right off quick was we both loved listening to Star Wars.
So, I mean, did you connect right away or was it some time before you two actually got together?
Actually, we had been friends and we conversed over the phone for what would you say
about 6 years?
5-6 years. And we had been wanting to try and get together. And it was October of 2003. And he came to Pennsylvania. He flew in. And my mom and I met him at the airport. And I was teasing him. I said, you didn't get any tattoos or piercings or anything funky like that so that my mom would be able to try and identify you. And he says, no, just look for a tall guy with a cane and an accordion on his back.
And the other giveaway was the Braille light that I used to carry.
Usually not too hard to find blind folks. So, Krista, you're from Pennsylvania, and Brent, you're from somewhere else?
Yeah, I was originally from Vermont. And some would say I still live there because of how often that I'm back up there. I just came back from the New England area, was on tour up there. I did 4 shows.
Okay, so what kind of music do the two of you play?
We do a little of everything. A lot of different ethnic music. My heritage is from the Scandinavian countries, particularly Finland and Sweden, so I do a lot of that. And Krista's taken a great interest in that. Of course, you're Polish and German, French music, Italian, just to name a few. And we do some jazz. We do some gospel. Actually, we do quite a lot of gospel. And we do what some would consider novelty music, which one time somebody referred to it as test music, which is basically there to test your ability on your whatever your instrument is. In other words, these pieces are ones that if you take lessons and your teacher wants you to learn them, you might wake up at night screaming sometimes.
What instruments each of you play?
I play piano. I also play trumpet. And I accompany him mainly on the different pieces. And I also sing. And he's teaching me accordion. So whenever we go places where a piano is not available and we can't bring a keyboard or anything like that, I will have an accordion with me, or I will have my trumpet with me. And of course, I always have my voice with me.
Talk about how you line up these gigs and kind of how much you charge and, you know, how far you're willing to travel and that whole process. Both of you are without eyesight, right? And how you're commuting between these gigs. How do you make all that work?
We will call around and talk to different senior centers, nursing homes, churches, things of that nature. We will contact these people and say, hey, we're just calling and lining up some different jobs in your area, and we were wondering if you might be interested in hiring us. And we tell them a little bit about what we do and what we have to offer. And they will usually get back to us and let us know if they're interested, and they will make inquiries about how much we charge. And the way we usually charge it is based on how far away it is and also on how long of a concert they want. We will travel anywhere in the U.S. and beyond. With the bigger gigs, especially if people know who we are or they've received business cards or heard about us through somebody else, they will communicate with us either by telephone or by email. They will inquire and say, hey, we have a 50th wedding anniversary or 80th birthday or something like that, and we were wondering if you would be interested in coming out and playing for us, providing the entertainment. We're looking for some Polish music or whatever. And we will say, okay, that's fine. And we can usually come up with a fee for them, give them a figure based on the distances that we would be traveling and how long of a concert they would want.
How long do you normally play?
A lot of the jobs we do, like the retirement home jobs, you figure about an hour, hour and a half tops. We can get anywhere from 150 to 200 for those. And what we try to do is, like, when we go up to Vermont, to fill in the gaps where we don't have really big jobs, we'll take a bunch of those, try to line them up in the same area so we can do, like, a double or triple header in one day. That way it saves you don't have to make multiple trips. When we do really big festivals,
like the different Oktoberfests.
Different Oktoberfests, county fairs, which we're going to try to hit the county fair circuit this coming year, I hope. I've been able to do those and get anywhere from like $500 to $1,500. Depends on the event.
And sometimes, too, with the larger gigs, we could be dealing anywhere with, what, about 6 hours?
Yeah, there was one job that we take breaks each year. In fact, they've already given us the dates for next year. It's a craft fair. It's right up in Vermont, right in my hometown, actually, Ludlow, Vermont, which is where I grew up. It's good money, but you got to really be prepared to have everything you know ready for that day because it's a six-hour job. Of course, you don't play 6 hours straight. That'd kill you.
That's because hopefully you get a few breaks in there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You have to allow for that, especially whenever it's outdoors. Or, for example, with this Oktoberfest that he was telling you about in Helen, Georgia, especially on Saturdays, they have, that's what they call an endurance day. So you are playing a good bit of the day, and you have maybe, what, about an hour between sets?
You alternate.
About, like, six sets or something like that?
You alternate with a group, with another entertainer. I think it's like three sets throughout the afternoon, and it's like 45 minutes to an hour set for our band, which is the main group, and the other entertainer gets like a half an hour. And then after those three exchanges, we have like an hour, hour and a half break, and then we go back and do it again. And if it's a 95 degree day and super humid, it's a tough one.
They have your regular stage lighting, so you have the stage light shining down on you, and that's pretty miserable.
2 years ago, we had a power outage there, and the other accordionist that was there and myself, we ended up having this kind of impromptu jam session. We jammed on everything from the Beatles and Creedence Clearwater Revival to your traditional polkas to, I don't know what all else we did, but it was absolutely crazy, and people were going nuts. They loved it.
That's the kind of stuff you wish you had a little recorder nearby, you know, just capturing that.
I wish I'd had one that year.
It's that kind of raw live activity, unplanned, totally impromptu. That's some of the best out there.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. We'll talk about the travel and what issues that presents for you. How are you commuting to and from all these gigs?
A lot of times, like with the Oktoberfest stuff, the way that we would do it and the way I'm doing it now is I just travel right along with the band leader. He has a big van with a trailer attached to it that has all of our equipment. He'll be coming by in the next couple days, pick me up, and off I'll go, and we'll get everything loaded up from here, and then I think our next stop is South Carolina.
Whenever we travel with Hannah, and we're coming up to a point where we're dealing with a very interesting issue. Right now, since she can still fit in her infant car seat, we really don't have much difficulty traveling with her right now because we can basically just scoop her up, car seat and all, and carry her, plus be lugging our suitcases and everything whenever we travel by train to go between Pennsylvania here and up to Vermont. But since she's going to be eventually graduating into a bigger car seat that is going to involve lugging her and it separately along with all our luggage, it's going to be quite interesting to see how it's going to work.
So that is interesting. You have a daughter that's 10 months old and you take her with you on some events, but obviously not others. How do you determine that which one she does go with you? And talk about, you said she's even been known to kind of play along with you.
Krista will pick her up and dance with her in the shows sometimes. We figured, like, with the Oktoberfest jobs, it's just so loud at some of those. I don't know how she did.
The alcohol consumption.
Or smoke.
An event like that is really no place for a small child. But most of the other events that we do, they are very family friendly, and we don't have any qualms about taking her with us. But with these Oktoberfest gigs, I'm staying here with her, because it just makes things easier than trying to figure out, okay, how are we going to get somebody lined up to stay with her so that I can go? And she's never been away from both of us for any length of time except for maybe a couple hours. And I think we'd rather just kind of ease her into it than all of a sudden, well, honey, we're going to go. We'll see you in 2 weeks. We love you. Bye.
What did you do before you started touring like this? Krista, you were talking about being a teacher. And
yes, I taught for a year and a half in a private school. I taught music, and I
worked with children from first grade through 12th grade. I taught voice and piano and brass, woodwind, and percussion, and that was quite an experience. And I look back and I think, wow, this really helped prepare me for parenthood, because I've dealt with my share of temper tantrums and moody teenagers who don't want to do what they're supposed to and different things like that. So I think I've pretty much seen it all.
And you don't feel you had any disadvantages as a blind instructor, any students trying to pull anything on you? Or obviously you could tell they were performing and doing what they needed to do there.
I had them wondering. I think they thought at some point that I had eyes in the back of my head that actually worked, because the one thing I was dealing with was high school choir. And high school kids, as a rule, they like to see how much they can get away with. And I was like, okay, sopranos, altos, let's cut the chatter. So-and-so, get your hands out of your pockets. So-and-so, put the drumsticks down. And put the pop can down, please. Thank you. Yeah, they're like, you can't get away with anything. Miss Krista's just like right there. She knows what's going on, so you might as well forget it.
Yeah, that marvelous hearing that saved the day. What about formal education?
I have an associate's degree in liberal arts from Penn State.
And I have a bachelor's degree in professional music from Berklee College of Music there in Boston. But the professional music major, what it is you can take classes from all the different majors they offer, kind of combine them together and make your own major out of it. Presented the greatest variety for me, and I think I got some music business courses in there, some performance courses, and also got some private instruction type courses, and a little bit of everything, so it was really neat.
So what did you do before touring, or is this something you've always, has this always been your bread and butter?
This has pretty much always been my bread and butter, as we'd put it. I started even performing on the accordion all throughout high school. I started playing that instrument when I was 12. Actually, I started piano when I was 3, so music has pretty much always been part of my life. Elementary and high school band.
So did I.
I played percussion in that. I was also in the choir. Krista was too, so.
Both of us have also started piano whenever we were 3, and so we've always had quite the extensive music background, so it's never been very far away from us.
And have any of you done any private teaching and lessons?
I did that for a while.
And how did that
whenever
work?
Whenever I was going to college. That worked very well. I had some voice students, piano students, and it was fun and it was interesting. But at the same time, once I started touring after Brent and I got married, I just didn't have the time to do that anymore. And in some ways, I kind of miss it. But at the same time, it just frees me up to spend more time with Hannah. And it's good.
So what are some tips you give someone for just limbering up their voice?
There are several wonderful vocal exercise CDs that are available. There is a series that one could acquire online. It's called the Vocal Coach series. I would recommend that. Another thing, if you are in bad voice, say if you have laryngitis or you're dealing with a sore throat, don't sing. Be kind to your voice, because if you damage yourself by just pushing too much and demanding too much, it's like anything else. You could wind up with injuries. That's how people wind up with polyps on their vocal cords and things of that nature that require surgery.
That's how they end up sounding like Rod Stewart, huh?
Yes. And I would always tell my students, if they came in and they would say, Miss Krista, I'm here for my lesson, and I could tell they sound awful. And I would say, how's the throat? And they'll say, it's sore. And I'd say, you know what? I'm going to go easy on you today. You're going to have a very short lesson. I want you to concentrate on word memorization. And once that voice feels better, I want you to work on it. But until that happens, no singing for you, okay? Before you get ready to sing, whatever you do, stay away from soda and stay away from milk, because that's just going to build up a lot of phlegm in your throat, and that's not going to do you any favors. I would say not ice cold water, a little bit below room temperature, but water is really, really good. Tea is also very good. Tea, coffee, that's good. Just stay away from the Coca-Cola, the Mountain Dew. Just cough, never clear your throat, because that's banging the vocal cords together.
So how many states have you played in, and what's the farthest you've traveled?
Pretty close to 25. And the furthest away that I've ever traveled myself was Oregon. I did a Scandinavian fest out in Astoria, Oregon. Furthest away that Krista and I have traveled together, California.
Burbank, Los Angeles area, which was really nice.
I want to go back there.
What influence does Braille have? Do you learn via, scores, or you strictly play by ear, or how do you do that?
I've read a little bit of Braille music, but for one, with the accordion and even with the piano, of course, a two-handed instrument, it's very difficult for me to read the Braille music and be able to translate all that to the fingers and then onto the keyboard. I've always done this. I listen to recordings, whether they be CDs, tapes, records, whatever. I collect a little of everything. I listen to that. I learn it as I hear it on the recording, and then I make my own arrangements because I don't want to exactly duplicate the recording. So you want to make it your own.
With me also, I do a lot of playing by ear, but where the Braille really helps me is when it comes to lyric memorization. If I can look at it, that helps me to internalize it a lot quicker than, say, if I'm trying to listen to it.
I've had that experience too. When I was in chorus, there were some times I needed to have those lyrics brailled when I could get them, and that really helped out. So I figured the notes I'd get easy enough. I remember times when I'd be sitting in there and listening for the lyrics from everybody else, and when they wouldn't get it right, it would just sound like a bunch of mush, and I couldn't figure anything out.
Especially if you're dealing with anything in a foreign language, because then you can take it and break it apart into the different vowels, you could split everything up. I remember whenever I was in college and had to sing some things in Italian, it was a huge help to be able to break things up. And just to be able to figure out, okay, yeah, this is how this is done. And since I have a background in Spanish, I can just... Since Italian and Spanish are very similar, I could just break things apart into the different vowels and get an idea of how it's supposed to be pronounced.
So with the internet, that allows musicians to distribute music in ways never before available in the past, where you had to go and negotiate some record deal and get your stuff into the stores. Have you recorded any music? Do you have any kind of CDs or anything available?
I have recorded 3 CDs. One of which is completely sold out. And my latest one, which I called Dancing Fingers, recorded and released that one back in 2006. And we're just about out of those, too. My second project, Just For You, we still have quite a few of. They have sold really well, but we're still working on finishing off the second batch of those. Hopefully on this upcoming tour, we'll be able to take care of a good share of them.
So you sell these on tour? Do you sell them through your website? Do you have any kind of e-commerce portal, or how do you do that?
We sell a lot of them on tour, do a lot of mail orders. People can go onto the website and listen to samples from the CDs. We don't do anything with credit cards at this point, but if somebody sends a check or a money order or a personal check to, it's the address where I grew up, we have a post office box up there. So whenever we do CD orders, we prefer that the checks or whatever be sent there because it guarantees that it'll get taken care of. We're just not around here enough to have everything moved here for that, to do the CD mail orders. So we have it all sent up there and it's taken care of. My parents are a huge help.
That makes a big difference.
Definitely.
Oh, it sure does.
I mean, all the successful people I see have a good support network. What is some tips you'd like to give to folks considering music as a career? Younger listeners, they're kind of maybe where you were in high school and they're trying to decide, can I make money at this or do I need to leave the band behind when I graduate? What tips would you give them?
Obviously, if you want to go into music and be really successful at it, do not expect for it to happen overnight. I had hoped one day that great success in the music business for me would come quick. And to an extent, some of it did. But looking at all the different things, just how much work there can be and just all the travel and everything that's involved with it, I'm just as glad that all this stuff hasn't happened exactly overnight because I don't know if I would have been able to handle all of it. It does take patience, definitely. And it's one of those things that if what you're doing isn't working out, you don't want to give up immediately. You got to keep at it, keep pursuing it. If I find I'm looking for, I have to look for other types of gigs, I'll just expand the repertoire to be able to fit those. About 4 or 5 years ago, an interesting type of job came up where I was to do a restaurant job that was for a French place. And I knew maybe 2 or 3 French songs to play. And 2 or 3 wouldn't have cut it for a 2.5-hour job. So, and this is another thing too, whenever there's music to learn, don't procrastinate like I did. I ended up having to learn about 20 to 30 songs in 2 days. Thankfully, they were easy, but I'll never make that mistake again. But anyways, it worked out great, and it's opened up a whole other avenue because now I know I can do these restaurant jobs, which often work out great. I would say also just don't push yourself too hard, there's a philosophy, and I encountered this at Berkeley among different musicians, practice until it hurts. But I've also seen the major downside of that, because if you do that, you've got nothing left when you go to perform. Don't want to beat yourself up, especially if you make mistakes, don't beat yourself up, because a lot of artists make those same mistakes. And some of them, if you do it right, they won't even be noticed.
Yeah, that's the key. I mean, we all make mistakes. The same thing, you know, I come from a broadcast background. If you made a mistake, you were supposed to just go on, and most people would not know it.
Exactly.
All you can do is really learn from your mistakes. You say, okay, I messed that up. What can I do to keep that from happening again?
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Krista, what are your words of wisdom for aspiring musicians?
I would say just remember that you play music. You exactly. don't play it like you would play a sport that is highly competitive. Remember to keep it fun, because if you remember to keep it fun, it's going to translate to your audience, and your audience will say they really are doing what they enjoy, and it's not, oh Lord, I gotta get up and go to work. It's, woohoo, I am having a ball up here. And you want it to look easier than what it is.
Good point, because there certainly are countries in the world where music is a competitive sport, and
yes.
people could get discouraged just by band competitions in high school and thought, well, I didn't win, so I must not be that good. I shouldn't pursue it.
Stay away from competitions, because competitions are for people who need other people to assure them that they are good. If you go out there and you hear people singing along or clapping to what you're doing and they are really enjoying that, that's so much better than, say, the Van Cliburn Award or whatever. You don't need fellow musicians to say, oh, you're good. Let's give you this award so that you can say, oh, look at me, I'm great. I went to a gig and I sold 45 CDs. People love what I'm doing. I mean, that is so much more fulfilling than some kind of award that really, in the greater sense, doesn't mean much of anything.
If you feel that you need competition to help yourself aspire, well, you lose, great. Practice makes perfect. You know, it's like anything in life. It's a passion.
Exactly.
Right. Instead of practice makes perfect, I believe in practice makes permanent. Because, say, you're getting ready for a gig and you have music you have to learn. You're not going to strive for perfection. You'll drive yourself crazy before you achieve perfection. The point is, you get that song that you have just learned cemented into your mind to the point where it's like a loop. It just plays in your head and it won't leave you alone. You know that you have it. You've nailed it.
And it helps if you only had 2 or 3 hours sleep as well.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, that too.
So you're also users of SAMNet. I'm curious what you do on SAMNet to kind of occupy your time, or just in general, what do you do when you're not out slaving before a hot accordion?
Or piano.
Let's see. When I'm on, I like to play. Obviously, I love to go to the accessible games. I love to go to the entertainment area where you have all the described video and the different audiobooks and the audio dramatizations and things. I've always been really enthralled by that. And I've been going with Krista here. We've been going into the chat room quite a lot, especially the cafe area, to see what's going on. I just like to just browse around and see what's there, you know, see if any new content's been added. And it's always fun to see what's new. I like to go on to read. I notice there's a lot of different texts available up there.
Mm-hmm.
It's really been quite a user-friendly experience, and I look forward to seeing where it's going to go.
I also like the internet games and the movies and the radio stations and all the different things out there. I mean, there's just so many learning opportunities out there. And I love that. That was one of the main deciding factors for us to get the network. We're planning on homeschooling our daughter whenever she becomes of age, and just to look under the accessible internet area and look at the education section under podcasts, it's huge. I love that, because I'm thinking, wow, I can learn so much before it comes time to teach her.
It's really been a great resource.
Mm-hmm.
We have other users who are already homeschooling their children, so
excellent.
You know, why not create a forum and share ideas and resources? I think that would be a great idea.
I like
it. Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and plug this. I have a condition called bilateral anophthalmia, which means I don't have the interior of either one of my eyes. And Hannah, our daughter, has a condition called bilateral microphthalmia, which means both of her eyes are very small. And I've been thinking of starting a forum on microphthalmia and anophthalmia. That way it can sort of be an information area for anybody who has questions, or a place where other people who have the same eye conditions can talk about different things that they've experienced as a result dealing with ocularists and prosthetics and all that wonderful happy stuff.
That's what makes the network at the end of the day, is the interaction and what the users put into it. I mean, I can add content all day, but it's when I hear specific things that people want, that they're passionate about, that makes the difference.
Chat rooms are wonderful because we've made a lot of wonderful friends here over the past couple months that we've been members, and it's just really, really nice.
So you're going to play us a song?
We've worked up something here that we think will definitely be a good choice for this particular podcast, and it's one that we get a lot of requests for when we're out playing. It's one of those tunes you never quite know how it's going to come out from time to time when you play it, because improvisation will do that.
And we like to joke about it being the world's slowest song.
I listened to the song a bunch of years ago. It was played on the fiddle. And I also heard Johnny Cash do it. He had the lyrics to it, and he played the harmonica with it. But I thought to myself, my gosh, this is a great tune. I wonder if I might be able to come up with an arrangement of this thing for the accordion. So I was fooling around with it one day, and eventually I came up with something, and I started playing this. And everywhere I played, people were requesting it thereafter, and somebody finally said, well, why don't you record this on a CD? And I said, you know, that's a great idea. I'm going to do that as soon as I can. There was such a demand for it. Somebody tried to order the product a year before I had it released. And I told my mom, I said, this is getting very scary. In a good way. But you might have heard of it, actually. It's called the Orange Blossom Special. Thank you.
Wow, that was awesome. You just never know what kind of satisfaction you can have in life by pursuing your dreams, just as Brent and Krista are doing. And I really hope that everyone listening to this who's had second thoughts and doubts about pursuing their dreams will think twice and say, hey, I can do this. It's not going to be easy. I'm going to have challenges, but if I really want it, I can make it happen. Why don't you give your contact information?
You can visit us at www.brentbuswell.com. And from there, you can check out the discography. You can check out the concert schedule. And you can also link to us. You can send emails to us. There's music at brentbuswell.com.
Then there's just Brent at brentbuswell.com, but it's the same.
It all goes to the same inbox.
You know, it's amazing how every day we go out and just do what we do, and we never know those moments in time when we're inspirations to other people. Thanks a lot, and if you want to talk to Brent and Krista, by all means, come on into the Serotech chat rooms, usually hanging out in the cafe, maybe playing some Kingdom of Loathing or one of the cool games on the network. It's a good time.
Yeah, g'day all. It's Scott Rutkowski here. From Sydney, Australia, and today I'm doing a demonstration of a new product that I've purchased, and it's called the EcoLogic 4 by Roberts. I'm very, very impressed with what I have so far. The standard of digital radio that we're using over here is called DAB Plus, and from what I've heard, DAB Plus is actually better than what they've got in the UK, and better than what they've got in the US there. With DAB Plus, the audio itself is encoded using AAC, and it ranges from 80 kilobits per second up to about, I think it's 128. I've actually got the radio hooked up to the MacBook here, to the line-in. From all the reviews I read of different radios, this radio was the easiest to use. It's a tabletop unit. You can carry it around. It's not a huge device. Think of a ghetto blaster. It's not as wide as one of those. This unit doesn't have any cassette deck or CD player, just the radio with a telescopic antenna. Toward the back, on the top, you've got your controls, which are very well laid out. And you've also got your display where all the information is displayed about the radio stations you're listening to. It runs on 6 D-cell batteries, or you can plug it into AC power. The reason that it runs on 6 D-cell batteries is because of the fact that you'll have more amplification when you're listening to the radio. From the literature, it says that you'll get 150 hours playback on D-cell batteries. The unit does have stereo speakers at the front of the device, and it also has a headphone 3.5mm jack at the back, along with a line out for your stereo. There's nothing on the sides of the unit itself. You've only got your controls on the top of the device and your speakers at the front, and they're behind a grille. Some of the channels transmit only in mono, yet others transmit in actual stereo. The AM channels, they're actually mono. The stereo transmissions appear to be the FM stations, which have come across to digital radio. You don't tune it by its frequency like 1224 or 1269 or any of those. It's all in an alphabetical list, and it has its name, such as 2-Day FM or 2UE or Vega. The way that you work the radio, when you first get the unit, you turn it on with the power button on the top. At that point, on the screen it says, welcome to your radio, and it's tuning in all the frequencies that are available with the auto-tune function. So that takes approximately anywhere from 30 seconds to 1 minute, or slightly longer depending on where you live and how many frequencies are available. I think here I get about 30 channels. 5 of those I can take out right now because they're from the special broadcast service. And they're ethnic channels, and they're in other languages. I'm going to turn on the radio, and the first thing we're going to notice is you'll hear a stereo station called Vega, which plays 70s, 80s, 90s, and today's music. So I'm going to press the power button. You're going to hear a couple of little clicks, that sort of thing, while the radio comes on, and then you'll hear the music coming through. So I'm going to press that now. So this is Vega you're listening to at the moment, and they're playing Blondie Call Me. And from what I was told, it's transmitting at 80k BPS. Sorry, 80k per second, and it's on AAC. Okay. You now, I'm going to press one of the presets on the radio, and it'll switch over to a mono station called News Radio.
Eight people ran off the Western Freeway at Coburn's Road around 3:30. Paramedic Paul Holman says it rolled several times.
There's four adults and four children being injured. Unfortunately,
so this is the ABC News Radio, which also broadcasts live on the internet, and it's a great channel. I listen to it all the time, and Vega's my other favourite channel. Okay, I'm now going to switch over to another channel over here called Mix 106.5, and they play 90s today's music, and I think some 70s also, so I'm going to press that now. So this is Mix, and another channel I'll show you is called 2GB, which is another talk and news channel.
New football stadium.
It's only in mono.
He scored 3-2 in a game featuring 9 Wallabies. And McLaren's Lewis Hamilton has pole position for tonight's Singapore Formula One Grand Prix. Australia's Mark Webber has qualified fourth.
Okay, now just something else. There's a channel here called 2WS, and they've got two channels on this radio. They've got the normal 2WS channel,
Double Action Hair Loss Remedy,
and they've also got a plus channel, and at the moment they're playing Beatles music. So I'm going to switch to that now, and if you want to hear what that sounds like.
But I'm a traditionalist.
So as you can hear, it is this absolutely fantastic stereo. Here's another bit of variety for you. Here's the normal 2WS frequency right now.
Escape from reality. Open your eyes. Look up to the skies and see. I'm just a
So that's listening to Queen at the moment. You also get on this unit bass and treble controls. And I've had to turn the bass down, otherwise it would be thumping too much through the recording here. Here we go, here's some dance stuff. I'll need to hear this for a bit. This is really good quality. Absolutely superb quality. I just can't get over how good this actually sounds.
Let's go to someone from Australian Idol, and you know, surprisingly, not a winner. Amazing that someone can be successful and not win that show. Lisa Mitchell, you know this song.
So that's pretty much the features of the radio. I'm just going to turn the radio off. The only other thing I wanted to mention is that you can have 10 presets in the radio as well, and they're easy to do without sight. Once you've found the station you want, you just hold down the preset, and it's actually in the actual radio there. So I hope you've enjoyed this demonstration of the Roberts Ecologic 4 radio.
And thank you very much for listening.
You've been listening to Sero Talk. Visit us at www.serotalk.com. Send us an email at resources@serotalk.com or leave us a voicemail at 866-997-BLAB-2522. We may read your email or play your voicemail in the next podcast. Join us in 2 weeks as we explore all the internet and life has to offer. Until then, may you have an accessible digital life.